Christ is risen. And that's what we're celebrating today. If Jesus had not come back to life, if he hadn't done that, and the tomb wasn't empty, we wouldn't have Christianity today. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14. And I'm going to read it from the Amplified Bible. It says this, "And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain, useless, amounting to nothing. And your faith is also vain. It's imaginary. It's unfounded. It's devoid of value and benefit because it's not based on truth. This clearly tells us no resurrection, no Christianity. No Christianity, no forgiveness of sins." I read of an undertaker who said, quote, "Of all of the things that I have had requested of me, the strangest thing of all, true story, he said, was somebody insisted that the deceased friend be buried with a can opener in his hand, just in case he needed to get out." There's a lot better way to get out than a can opener. And it's called the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's how Jesus got out. And that's what we celebrate today. This day is important to us as Christians because of what Jesus said in John 14, 15. He said this, "Because I live, you will live also." It was so important to the first century church that they came up with a special greeting. We've said it before, we said it earlier. And this special greeting was intended to encourage. It was intended to inspire. Not only that, it was intended to identify one another as true followers of Christ. And one would say, "Christ is risen," and the response would be, "Risen indeed." And that's Easter. Christ is risen, and he's risen indeed. The most famous clock in all the world is located in London, England. And it has a name. Anybody know what it's called? Big Ben. Not Big Bill. Big Ben. I read something very interesting about Big Ben, something I didn't know until I read this. There are four ringtones to the chimes of Big Ben. It's said that the musical chimes of Big Ben correspond to the fifth and sixth measures of Handel's Messiah, which say this, "I know that my Redeemer lives." Everyone in London set their watches and governed their lives according to Big Ben, the chimes, the time. But what they may not realize is that they also are setting their watches and governing their lives to something else, to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And let's all do the same here this morning. Let's choose today to live our lives according to the reality of Easter. The reality of Easter can actually impact our lives if we just let it. We have to let it. Because if there's power to raise a man, Jesus Christ, from the dead, then that same power is there for you and me when it comes to living our lives. But we must understand the resurrection, and we must understand that there's power, and then we must choose by faith to let it transform our lives, touch our lives. It is through the death and burial of Jesus Christ that we're saved. Salvation is what applies forgiveness, which accomplished forgiveness. Because Jesus died in our place, we can be forgiven. But that's not all we need. We don't need to just be forgiven of all our sins, right? There's something else we desperately need as people. The Bible says when we were born into this life, we were born dead. So not only do we need to be forgiven of all our sins, we need life. And that's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because if he didn't have the power over death for himself, how in the world could we ever believe he would have the power of death for us? And so Jesus demonstrated when he said, because I live, you will live also. He rose from the dead to prove his point. And that's the resurrection of Christ. I'm going to read the text that we'll be looking at. It's Matthew 28, verses 1 through 8. And I'm going to read that. We have it on the screen there for you. So you can look in your Bible, turn to Matthew 28, or look on the screen there. Matthew 28, 1 to 8, it says this. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Verse 5, the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. See, he's not here, he has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. What we want to do this morning, just for a short period of time here, is we want to look at verses 5 through 7, where we see the angel talking to the women. We're going to look at what the angel told the women, what he said to them. And in doing that, we're going to see that he's saying the same thing to us this morning, not just to the women, but to us. So the angel said first, number one, he said, be calm and courageous, verses 5 and the first part of verse 6. And the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, he is risen. So the first thing he told the women is, don't be afraid. You don't have any reason to be afraid. The women were afraid. They were on their way that morning to finish the burial process. Because the guys did it earlier, they had to do it quickly and probably didn't do it quite right. So they were going out early to finish the burial process. And I have no doubt in my mind that they would have been emotional wrecks. They would have been filled, first of all, with deep grief, fear, anxiety, and a whole lot of confusion. And not only was it because as they were walking and they were getting close to the tomb that the ground shook, a violent earthquake took place. That would have freaked them out right then. But because of everything that happened the days before, the rest, the crucifixion, and the burial of the one they left everything to follow. The one they believed in was the promised Messiah that would one day sit on David's throne to rule and reign, not die. To them, the angel said, do not be afraid. And they were very confused, anxious, and fearful when he said that. I wonder how much of a calming effect it might have had. I'm sure it had some, even though later it says they were still a little bit fearful, but at the same time joyful. But I think that there was some calming effect to what the angel said. You know, the message of Easter is the same thing today. The message is stay calm, don't be afraid, don't be troubled. Why? Why is it that we don't have any reason to be afraid or be troubled or to be anxious or worried? It's because Christ is risen. And what's your response? He's risen indeed. Christ is the risen Lord. We love and serve a living Savior, not a dead one. And that proves that He is who He said He was. When He said that He was God become man, He proved it by rising from the dead. He proved that He was sovereign. He proved that He was all-powerful and in control over all things. And the ultimate proof of that was that He defeated death, man's final enemy. So if He could do that, He can do anything. There's no reason why we should be fearful at any point over anything in our lives. Because if death could not hold Him prey, and Satan could not defeat Him, then what do we have to be afraid of? As believers in Christ, Scripture says this, we are in Him. Isn't it true we live in uncertain days in many ways? But there's one thing that we know for sure, and it's never changed. It's what the angel said to the women. And maybe he's saying it to you this morning, right now. He's saying to you, don't be afraid. Don't be troubled. He's not here. He's risen. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. What is He doing? Interceding for you and me. He's there for us. He's there to help take care of us. We have nothing to be afraid of. I love the story of the cowboy who applied for health insurance. The agent routinely asked him, have you ever had any accidents? The cowboy replied, well, no. I've not had any accidents. I was bitten by a rattlesnake once, and a horse kicked me in the ribs. That laid me up for a while, but I haven't had any accidents. The agent said, wait a minute, I'm confused here. A rattlesnake bit you and a horse kicked you? Weren't those accidents? No, he said. They did it on purpose. No accidents. Nothing that happened that morning was an accident. The Bible says it was all done on purpose. Everything that happened, from the arrest all the way to the empty tomb, was done on purpose, because the Bible says that God is sovereign. Psalm 115, verse 3 says, but our God is in the heavens. He does whatever He pleases. Isaiah 45, 7 says this, I form the light and I create darkness. I bring prosperity and I create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things and everything in between. See, we have nothing to fear because the tomb is empty. Because we serve and love and follow a living Lord and Savior. That should give us great calm and great courage when we need it. Do not be afraid. Christ is risen. Your response? Christ is risen indeed. The second thing that we see that the angel said, come and see. Verse 6. Come and see the place where He lay. Come is a word of invitation. You can never find where Jesus says anywhere in the Bible, go away, don't bother me, I don't have time for you. Ever. Maybe as a parent we've said that. Maybe as a friend we've said that, but He's never said that. It's always come, come and see. Jesus always invites people to come to Him. This says that Jesus is always available. No matter what's going on, He's there. No matter what time of day or night, He's there. He's available. Come, He says, come and see. Remember the time the curious disciples asked, Teacher, where are you staying? Jesus said, come and see. There was another time when His disciples were keeping some children away from Him. And Jesus said, no, let the little children come to me. for such is the kingdom of God. See, his invitation is open to all. It's always come and see. And there's one more. Do you remember when Jesus said this? Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened down, and I will give you rest. Come and see. There was a newspaper article about a very rich couple who lived in Wadsworth, Illinois. They wanted to build a very unusual house. And so they built a 7,000 square foot home, and it was shaped like a pyramid. Can you imagine? And it was also overlaid with 24 karat gold. They had too much money. They decided to put a moat around it and fill it with sharks. And the message that they were sending was no trespassing. Stay away. I really doubt they had any trick-or-treaters on Halloween night, do you? And I really doubt there was anybody that knocked at their door, tried to sell them a vacuum or whatever. Because everything about them and their home and their place was said, stay away. Don't come near. But Jesus Christ, he's different. Jesus says, come to me. It's always come to me. It's always come and see. Never go away. Come and see. The word see means to perceive, understand, and experience. Come to me and understand. Come to me and perceive the empty tomb. And notice it's empty. But there's something more about that word. It's just not come and understand or see or perceive, but come and experience the empty tomb. That's exactly what the women did. And he's saying this to you and me, come and see for yourself that the tomb is empty, that Jesus is alive. And if you will let him by faith, he will change your life. He will give you rest. He will help you every day. See, Jesus really is alive. Because the tomb is empty. And he's saying, maybe you this morning, would you come and see for yourself? Examine the facts, then decide. There's so many that have never examined the facts. But he says, come and examine the facts, then decide after you do. And I've read testimony after testimony of those who were doubters, they were unbelievers, and they with an open heart and an open mind examined the facts. And when it was all said and done, many of them became believers in Jesus Christ because they couldn't deny the facts. And they were saved. Jesus is really alive. Come and see. Come to him for rest from your fear, your worry, your guilt. Come and see and experience his power and his life so that you can be set freed from all of the bondages of life. Come and see, he says. The story is told of Philip, one of Jesus' disciples. And he said to Nathan, his friend, we have found him of whom Moses and the prophets wrote about. It's Jesus of Nazareth. He's the one. He's the anointed Messiah, the one we're waiting for. And Nathanael responds and says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? See, he wasn't a believer. he was still full of doubt. And then Philip said to him, come and see. I'll show you that he's the one. He's the anointed one. Check it out for yourself, Nathaniel. Many doubters and skeptics in this world. And God is telling them, and maybe you're one. God is telling them, okay, check it out. Come and see. Find out if the tomb was really empty. Look at the facts of why we believe what we believe as Christians. See, the question for you today is, have you come? Have you personally come to Jesus Christ? Have you come to Him with all your pain, allowing Him to meet your emotional and spiritual needs, whatever they might be? Jesus is saying, come and see. Come and understand and experience what it's all about. Come if you need to be saved and forgiven because you've never been saved and forgiven. If that's you, come and see. Maybe what you need this morning is to find rest. If so, he's saying to you that he will carry that burden. Come, find out. Because he does, and he will. Maybe what you need is to choose to come and follow him. To begin to live for him right now from this day forward until you get to heaven. Because Jesus said to many, come follow me. And he's saying the same thing to you and me. Come to him for salvation. He's saying, come to him for rest. Let him carry your burden. Lay it at the foot of the cross. Give it to him and walk away. And let him deal with it. He's willing. He wants to. He can. Why not? And then be free. And he's also saying, come, follow me. I will lead you. And I will lead you right up to be with me one day. Maybe he's inviting you this morning to come. Will you heed his call? Will you turn or will you turn away? What is it that he's calling you to? Salvation? Rest? Full commitment to him? Unreservedly so? Whatever it might be. He simply says, come and see. The tomb is empty. I'm alive. Come to me. And so now, so far in our message, we've seen that the angel said, number one, be calm and courageous. And then he says, number two, come and see. And that brings us to our third point, the third thing the angel said to the women. He said, go and tell, verse 7. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead. The tomb is empty. That's good news. Christ is risen. He is what?
Risen indeed.
What does he say? Go and tell. Years ago, there was a man who went on a medical mission trip to China. He was a doctor. He was an eye surgeon. And he performed a very delicate operation removing cataracts from a man who was blind. He had a severe case of cataracts. The man walked away seeing for the first time. A few weeks later, that same doctor was surprised when 48 more blind men were on his doorstep wanting the same surgery. They had traveled, get this, over 200 miles. All of them holding a rope led by the man who had the surgery done and could now see. He led them to the doctor who could open their eyes. All of them came that they might see. And they were led by the man who now could see. Let us leave this place. Find our rope. and lead those that cannot see to the one who can heal them. Who do you need, or who do you know, excuse me, that you need to go to and tell? Who is that? Who do you know that you need to go and tell so he can come and see? Some years ago, there was a preacher, a very famous and very effective preacher. But he contracted an eye disease that started rendering parts of his body paralyzed, including his vocal cords. So the Easter before he died, his vocal cords were paralyzed. But he could still write with one of his hands. And so he wrote a note to his daughter. And the note said this, quote, "How terrible it is to wake up on Easter with no voice to shout, 'He is risen.'" But then he said, quote, "Worse still is to have a voice and not want to shout." That's worse, he wrote. Do you have a voice? Then tell the world he's alive. So if you're a believer in Christ and you're here this morning, go and tell. If you've already come and seen and experienced the life-changing power of the living Christ, then go out and tell those that need to come and see. That's what God has given us to do. Maybe you're here and you're carrying a heavy burden. Jesus says, come. Come and see. Come and experience. Allow me to carry that load for you. Maybe you're here and you know Christ as Savior, but you haven't been following Him. Jesus says, come and follow me. Why? Well, the tomb is empty. I'm alive. The message for us this morning, you and me, is simple. It's come and see. Come and see that Christ is risen, and He's risen indeed. What a great message. That's Easter. Father, we thank You for the simple message of the cross and the empty tomb. But Father, it was expensive. And it cost You a lot. It cost You Your Son. You sent Him to die so that we wouldn't have to die eternally, that we can be with You. And I pray, Father, that we would leave this place taking a look into the empty tomb and seeing that You're not there and that You're alive. And so because of that, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to worry. We don't have to stress. Why? Because You love us and You're alive. And we thank You for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Closing, I want